Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Start at Romans 4. I'm going to bring a revelation back that we've been involved in for some time. It's having so much impact right now. And I pray that God opens our ears to hear and our eyes to see. A lot about the kingdom of God and a lot about the word of God is not just what you know. It's what you know. It's what you gnosko knows. Gnosko is a Greek word that it's the animate knowledge of the word. It's like the spirit and life. He says, my words are spirit and my words are life to those that find them. So because we have a certain understanding or knowledge, there's always a deeper realm. The word is like a matrix of depth. And when it gets revealed, it can do everything from energize you to lightning going through you. And more than that, it can actually change when God speaks it. It has an impact of multiplication that will continue from generation to generation to generation and not stop. That's why you don't see the Father speaking very much. Because if the Father speaks something, it never stops reverberating. I remember when Jesse Duplantis went to heaven and he was caught up before the throne. He says, you really can't look upon the face of God. He goes, all I could see, I was brought before his throne, was there was light coming out of him. And I couldn't see really anything more. He was sitting on the throne and all he could see is his hand like this. He couldn't see anything above it because of the light that was emanating from that place. The first thing you do, because the glory was emanating so powerfully, he said, the first thing, I just fell to the ground. And he goes, I don't know how long I was there. And an angel came and picked him up off the ground and gave him something to eat. Said, you'll have to eat this to stand in this place because your body is not equipped to handle the glory, especially people that are new when they come into heaven. They're not ready for that kind of glory. And it just blows them out. I mean, that's his testimonies to people who have been there. But anyway, he said his finger moved. This was the Father. And these huge angels were encompassing the throne, these cherubim, and they were singing, worship the great God Jehovah. And one of them, when he moved his finger, the glory was so powerful, it threw him out. He goes, you can't understand the magnitude of the power of God, the glory of God. So when the Father ever speaks, it has a reverberating effect from generation to generation to generation because his words are so powerful. Well, today I want to share some things concerning that particular operation because we're entering in now the time of manifest promise. Now, when we speak, it's so amazing because how many of you are a confession man in here? I confess the word of God, death and life, power in the tongue and... But when you're learning these things, your faith grows because it's not just what you say, what you speak, it's the faith behind it. But as your faith grows, the enemy will come and challenge you, but you'll be able to stand in times where you couldn't stand before. You can stand now. And when you stand against the enemy with the word of God in your mouth and the word of God in the midst of your heart and the word of God in the front of your eyes, you will see the kingdom of God manifested in your midst. Amen? And I want to share that today. I want to look at Abraham, and I'm going to look at things and share some things you might not have heard, even though you've heard. How many of you ever heard about Father Abraham? I mean, he used to sing the songs in children's church. But I want to share some things, what God did that day. I want to go back to this, and I'm going to ask the Lord to open the eyes. Remember I said, it's what you see. It's what the Spirit of God reveals. It's see, every freedom is a revelation away. Sometimes it's not more knowledge we need, it's revelation knowledge. We need that word to be revealed to us in a way that tears down something that was in the way. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't originate from this realm that we live in, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These imaginations can be built within us when we're a child. They can be built. They're systems of thoughts that harbor and they get built, and we don't even know how much they're in the way until God decides he wants that room. How many of you ever opened a room for God? How many of you know what I mean? When you're walking with God and suddenly he wants something that he never asked you for before. He never asked that part of you. He never asked to occupy that part of you. He never even bothered you with it. How many of you know there are certain things you do that God just, it seems like he's not bothered. And all of a sudden you start growing in God, and all of a sudden that part that was always there, he is suddenly all over it. He's shining the flashlight of heaven on it. And when he's shining the flashlight of heaven on it, you're going, oh my, he won't take the flashlight off. And he keeps it on you, and he's letting you see it. But what happens is there's a war that takes place because parts of it is part of the old, and he's trying to pull it over into the new, and there's this thing going on back and forth. Sometimes you're in it, sometimes you're not, sometimes you're winning, sometimes you're not, and you're back and forth, and sometimes you don't know the difference because you're in a struggle because he's tapping something, and he wants the room, he wants to occupy that realm of our heart now, or that realm of our life, and he wants that realm. And when if God wants something, it means you're ready to give it up. But that doesn't mean just because he wants it and you're ready to give it up that you're going to be able to just freely give it up. Amen? But sometimes we'll go through a process of releasing it. I remember when he was dealing with things in my own life, in very deep areas, and the deeper they are, the harder they are to get out. But he'll get it. You look at your heart and say, he's going to get it. Amen? But it doesn't do any good to go look for what he's after. You got to wait for him, because it's until God decides the time is now. Amen. And when God decides the time is now, it's because you're ready. Sometimes we're not ready for things. Sometimes we're not ready for the kind of change God's looking for. I mean, it's like a baby. He's not ready for full age college yet. He's a babe. So God deals with you as a babe. When you're a little child, he deals with you as a little child. And so what happens is some areas, what we do is we start negotiating with God. How many of you ever negotiated with God? And I'll tell you how negotiation works. What happens is we look at our strengths and what we do for God, because every one of us have a strength. Every one of us has something we do. And so we start negotiating, but look at what good I am over here. Look at all this we're doing over here. And God said, that's really good, but that's not what I'm after right now. I'm after this other thing. And I'm like, yeah, but look over here. You see how we do? We negotiate. But the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So sometimes when God's asking for obedience in this area, I'm over here trying to give more and more of what I'm really good at. When you're really good at something, you want to go back to that, what you're good at, and just give more and more and more. And God said, that's good, but that's not what I'm after. I want the obedience of the other realm. And sometimes obedience is hard when there's an area of our life that we've not let go of, or an area of the heart we've not let go of, because we're protecting. And so sometimes we have to let go, because he's going to get it. But when he does, and what's so amazing is the liberty that comes from it, and the freedom that comes from it, and the joy that comes from it. I'm like, why did I ever hold on to that in the first place? The number one deterrent is fear. Okay, that's enough of that. That was my exhortation. Now I'm going to get onto my message. Hallelujah. Romans 4:7. Now he's referring to a scripture here in Genesis 17. And he says, as it is written, I have made thee. I want you to either underline that or write it down or memorize that. Write it across your heart. Say, I have made thee. Now, I want you to notice what he did not say. I'm going to make you. I have made. When God said this, Abraham was not a father of many nations. He had only given birth to one child, and that was Ishmael. He had a son of promise that God was still promising that he couldn't get out because he wasn't going to be able to get that promise out on his own strength. But God's saying, I'm not only going to make you a father of one nation, which is Ishmael, which all the Arabs came out of Ishmael. He goes, and not two nations, which would be Israel, came out of Isaac, and then Jacob's name was turned to Israel and the nation of Israel. But say many. How many of you know when God speaks to your life, he's speaking things way past your time? Abraham was probably just saying, Lord, if we could just get this one son of promise out, I would be very happy. Because that's the way we view things. If I can just do this one thing, and God doesn't even acknowledge that. He's acknowledging the fact is his descendants are going to be as the stars of the heaven. His descendants are going to be as the sand of the seashore. But he's dealing with a man that's 99 years old and his birthing faculty's dead. Sarah's womb is dead, but that's where God likes to work. He likes to work in the midst when things are dead. That's when God does his best work. Because he likes to quicken the dead. That's what he does. He quickens the dead and calls things from the be not realm into the realm that is. That's the God kind of faith. So not even death deters God. None of your circumstance right now deters his will one bit. In fact, he was not even negotiating with Abraham. I'm like, come on, Abraham, let's me and you work together on this. Let's get together in faith. Let's get one son. He wasn't even acknowledging where he was. He didn't acknowledge his dead birthing faculties, her dead womb, he didn't even acknowledge. God, listen to this, does not acknowledge your circumstance when he's looking at your future. He doesn't acknowledge where you are. He doesn't acknowledge what's going on around you. He loves you. He cares for you. But he does not acknowledge that because to him, that's not truth. That's just a circumstance. But that has nothing to do with what he feels and believes about you in the future that you have in him. Because God supersedes anything going around you. Now, he will need your agreement. He will need your cooperation. But even that, he has a way of getting your agreement and getting you into cooperation. Amen? So when he says this, we're going to go back into Abraham. I'm not going to try to get too deep with this, but I'm going to show you how he did it. Because this is what he's doing with us in this hour. God is acknowledging, hey, I have a generation. It's a last day crowning generation in which I am going to release the latter rain and I am going to crown my church and I am going to bring forth out of my church a generation of kings and priests that are going to rule and reign on this planet. And they're going to overcome death itself. This is a generation resurrection, and they're going to overcome all things. And when you're looking at the church and where we've been and how long it's taken to get not just this church, any church, when you look at church wide, worldwide, what the church is doing, the voice the church has, the power or whatever power the church has, you're looking at that like we're not anywhere near what you're saying. We're not anywhere near what you're promised. We're not anywhere near. But it seems like the enemy's voice is everywhere. It seems like he can do whatever he wants to do. He can take over an election if he wants to. But none of that matters. It doesn't matter. Because God does acknowledge, no more than he acknowledged Abraham's dead birthing faculties or Sarah's dead womb. He did not acknowledge that. He called the thing that be not as though it was. Genesis 17. So here he is. Abraham been walking with God now 24 years. He is literally 1 year from giving birth. He doesn't know it, but he's 1 year out from giving the promised birth. He's been struggling with this. He's been negotiating with God. He tried to negotiate Eleazar to be the heir because he was a servant in his house and he loved him. That's what you do when you're young. You just start negotiating with God's promise. The thing about God's promise is you're not going to do it. You're not going to negotiate it out. God's going to do it. And then he tried to birth it out with Ishmael and he goes, that's not out either. But we keep negotiating. So didn't we come to the end of our capacity to negotiate? How many of you ever come to the end of something where you can no longer negotiate in your flesh, in your soul, in your reasonings? And that's a part of a brokenness that everyone has to enter into that walks with God any certain time, especially promise bearers. When you're a promise bearer, you have to come to that place. But even then, you can't sit there like that. You know you can't do it, and that's quite a frustration, but then you got to learn how to do it. Amen? And that's what we've been learning. Okay, how do we do this? What can we do? What do you want us to do? If I do nothing, I'm miserable. If I do something, it seems like I get in the way, so what can I do? Because if I try to do something out of my own self, I'm going to just mess it up. But then I can't do it because you've showed me that plenty of times. But what can I do? How many of you ever had that kind of paradigm? What can I do here? Because this thing won't leave me. It stays with me day and night. You can run from it and it's there. You can try to go to bed and you toss and turn all night, but it's there. It'll never be quenched. It's an unescapable operation of God. This is where Abraham was, 99. And so God does something to him in this day that was change the course of the future, history, changed our course. Every single one of us were a recipient of what happened this one day with Abraham. There's something in a day God can do that can change a generation forever. It only takes one day. Say one day. It only takes one time of being perfectly positioned with God. And in that positioning, God completes something. This day, everything was uncompleted. Abraham and Sarah had birthed Ishmael at 86. God had put Abraham on a back burner for 14 years. He's 99. She's 90. They're no more closer to the promise than they were before. But Abraham's walking with God, and God is about to intervene now. Say, intervene. There is a divine intervention in our life. We don't know when, we don't know how, but there's a suddenly of a divine intervention. We don't know when he's going to do it. We don't know how. He's just going, we do kind of know how, but we don't know when. The win factor is when God shows up and suddenly completes what we couldn't complete. And this is what happened that day with Abraham. He could have gone on for another 20 years. But God decided to complete him in one day. And God has this kind of authority to come into our life and bring a completion to something in one single day. And I'm going to show you how he did it, because I believe we are in the midst of a divine time right now. Remember, it's not what your circumstance is dictating. It's not what your body is dictating. It's not what the circumstances around you are dictating. It's what God says that's going to come to pass. It's what God speaks is what's going to come to pass. Amen? And all you need is the one time that it finishes. Amen. Let's watch how he did this again, because it's just profound. He took me back into this and he opened it all over again to me. Because what I found myself doing, and I can't get into it very much, I was still trying to bring everything to where I was. And he says it's not going to work that way. Now Romans 4 was speaking from this very discourse of Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, 1, when Abram, at this point his name was Abram, as 90 years old at 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, when you understand what he just said, walk before me and be thou perfect. The word before means face of God, panim. We've been talking a lot about Penim, the face of God. Listen, whether you know it or not, we are the generation that will obtain the full measure, the full revelation. We're the generation that's going to obtain this. I believe we're a people that's going to tap into this. So he says, When God appeared to him, he wasn't to say, hey, walk before me and be thou perfect before me. That's not what's happening here. He stood in the face of God. He goes, I'm going to pass you before my face today. And I'm going to perfect you today. And when we're done, we're done. Today I will bring all of your promise to a completion. This operation brings chills to me. Because what he couldn't do in 24 years, God did in one single encounter. But God said, today you're going to go before my face. And I'm going to show you what happened here today. And he goes, when we're done, you're done. There's no more struggle. There's no more, because I'm going to exercise the God kind of faith. Because you don't really have an Abraham to look to. We haven't done this kind of thing before. You're the first of your kind. So we're going to do this for you as an example of all that will come after you. But today we'll bring a completion to everything I promised you. Isn't that awesome? That's what he meant when he said, walk before me and be perfected. You're going to walk in before my face today. Now I'm going to show you in the scripture what that actually meant, what actually happened. Because this generation, listen, this is not just church anymore. We are a generation that can get perfected in a single day of what God has spoken so many times. I'm going to show you the power of one encounter in the face of God. One single encounter to transform a man and his seed in his loins that had an impact for every single generation to come. Not just you, not just the Arab nations, but you and I were a recipient of what happened that day. So let's watch what happens here. It's not what you hear through these ears. It's what you hear here in the heart. If your heart hears what I'm about to say, it can launch you. He said, listen, you're going to pass before my face today. I'm going to transform you. Now, God did something to Abraham, and I want you to see how the God kind of faith works. Verse 2, I will make my covenant with me and thee. This is between me and you. I will multiply thee exceedingly. And now God's manifesting his glory. So Abraham falls on his face while God's talking to him. I mean, this is an encounter. Amen. Now, verse 4 is when he gets after it. I want you to notice something. Between verse 4, verse 5, by the time verse 5 comes, God had completed everything. In one verse, he completed all of the future. Verse 4, as for me, behold my covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you. The thing that's funny about this is nobody ever knows where the covenant actually was made, because the covenant said the covenant was the circumcision. No, the Bible is very clear. It says the circumcision was the sign of the covenant, but it wasn't the covenant. He said, this is a sign that you acknowledge the covenant that God made, but it wasn't the covenant. Nobody actually knows where he actually made this covenant. They just take it the circumcision, but it's actually right here. If you look at it, it's pretty awesome. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because it's a much better rendition. Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And as a result, you shall be a father of many nations. He's about to tell him what's going to happen while he's standing in front of him. And he goes, I'm about to make a covenant with you. But it wasn't just with him. Guess who else was involved with that covenant? Verse 7. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Now, Galatians specifically tells us that he was talking about Christ, not seeds as many, but seeds as of one. And Christ was the seed. In other words, there was somebody in his loins some 42 generations later that God was actually talking to down there. You know that God can talk to generations in you that are 42 years, not years, generations, 42 grandpas later. God's talking to somebody down there. He recorded the tithe of Levi of having tithe for 430 years. Recorded him tithing in Abraham before he was ever born. God looks at you generationally. And he's all about generational family inheritance. And it doesn't matter what's right, what's wrong, what's in order, what's in dysfunction. None of that matters to God because he does not acknowledge what doesn't line up with what he's looking at. And God's not looking at your circumstance. He's looking at his will that supersedes every other circumstance. He wasn't looking at Abraham's dead birthing faculties, Sarah's womb. He wasn't looking at any of that. What he was about to say, he was going to call life right out of death. And he did it in verse 5. Now, look at verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenants with you is a result of what's about to happen this one day. You will become a father of many nations. You shall be. That's the last time he said shall be. It's the last time he said shall be. Romans 4 caught it just proper. I have made thee. From verse 4 to verse 5, he moved from shall be to I have made thee. That's a pretty big shift to a man that hasn't even lived one single hour past what God had said. He took him from shall be. See, there's a time that your promise is still the shall be mode. Going to happen. There's a day coming until it is done. Completed. Finished. Made. Not going to make. Made. In verse 5, he made him. Done. When the Lord brought me to this scripture, he said, you won't be able to read only one part. They got it right. And Romans confirmed it. I want you to read verse 5. Then I'm going to tell you what it really says. It says, neither shall thy name anymore. See that word shall? That's not in the original. But thy name shall be Abraham. That's not in the original. But for a father of many nations, they did get this right. I have made thee. And then they go back to shall. There is a huge difference between made and shall. Because shall constitutes something still must happen. Made constitutes it's done. And as long as we're in the shall be realm, we'll never see the promise of God. Because it's somewhere else. Something yet to be done. None of this manifested that day. In fact, if you want to know the truth, Abraham came out of this encounter I'm about to talk to you about, and he laughed. He laughed at God. And God said, now it's coming out of your own loins. And he fell on the ground and laughed. This is Father Abraham, you know, strong in faith, giving glory to God. He laughed. You know what he said? Let me ask you if you sound like this is faithful Abraham here. You know, the one that God talked about. He found it in 1 year, but he didn't find it that even after the encounter. God said, now this son's going to come out of your loins. And Abraham fell on the ground, started laughing, say laugh. And you know what came out of his mouth? Oh, that Ishmael might live forever. Does that sound like a man of faith, strong in faith, giving glory to God at what he promised? He's able to perform fully persuaded. Did that sound like full persuasion? He's 99 years old. He gives birth to Isaac at 100. He found something in a year he couldn't find that day. And that one thing he found is what we've been looking for. This elusive realm that brings us from shall be to made. Done. The next chapter, Sarah, or next couple of chapters, somewhere in there, God comes back to them and reaffirms the son. And Sarah, she's hiding behind a tent listening. And she hears God say, and she starts laughing herself. Can a child be born to him that's 100 years old? Lord, if you even know that my Lord, I don't know how to say this, but he's done. What she was laughing at. She said, Lord, it's not going to happen. Not with him anyway. You understand? Because she hears God saying that come from Abraham. She goes, not from the one I know. But that's what she was laughing at. That's what God said. Okay, I'll name him Laughter then, Isaac, because I heard you laugh. Because neither one of the parents of all faith had faith that day. But they found it. And they found it because God spoke it. And what God did to Abraham, he is about to do for our entire generation. We are about to come out of a womb where we were caterpillars. That ugly caterpillar womb they go into and they lose all those caterpillar legs and all that womb of caterpillar stuff. Mush. It's a mush thing they go through. And then all of a sudden they come out. Say they come out. And as a caterpillar, they transform. Suddenly, they become butterfly. Beautiful. In a moment's time. Notice what the butterfly gets to do. He's not bound anymore to walking around on a tree. He gets to roam around free. Think about the freedom that butterfly gets. Think about the freedom of, amen? What actually happened in verse 5? God was not just speaking to Abraham. God was encountering him in himself. Now, this is where you got to have ears to hear, my friends, because this is what makes the difference of powerless to power. From the caterpillar to the butterfly. From darkness to light. From where the church is now to a reigning bride on a global scale. To the shaking of nations. To the transformation of the known world where the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. The churches become more than Sunday morning. Where they become ruling and reigning in the earth, exercising dominion in the realms of darkness, financial realms, sickness, disease. This is the difference right here. What happened in this verse, what God did, what he said, he doesn't just speak, he moved them. God is a God of who is, and is to come. God is not bound by time. We live in time. God inhabits eternity, right? And he can take you from where you are and move you into where he is in a moment's time. Or where he is for you, where he is for our generation in one moment's time. Because we already live in him. Our future is already living. Remember when I first said to you, he doesn't look at Abraham where he is? You know why? Because he already sees Abraham as complete. See, he sees where you're going to be in 20 years. Because 20 years doesn't matter to God. Amen? What matters is the way he sees it. Because once he speaks it, it's finished. So what did he do that day? Well, I remember when the Lord was getting him in, he goes, you're going to have to go back to the, and I've heard him say it. He goes, the key is going back to the original text. Say the original, the standard, the literal version. So I'm going to read this to you out of the literal. And I want you to see what God did here, especially verse 5. Remember verse 4, he said, today's my covenant with you and the seed. As a result of this covenant, I will make you a father of many nations. This is you. Now, God's saying, today I'm going to do these things for you. But then he does it. Verse 5. There's two translations say the exact same thing, so I'll just read one of them for time's sake. Verse 5. Thy name is no more called Abram. Thy name has been Abraham. That's the Young's translation. The literal standard says, your name has been Abraham. They both said the same thing. In other words, he says, your name is no longer Abram, but your name. He didn't say shall be, because if he said shall be, he's still pushing that out. What God did is he moved Abraham out from where he was into where God was. He says, your name is not Abram anymore. Your name, watch this, has been Abraham. Where do you think Abraham was standing when God said that? He was standing in the face of God. But he was no longer standing in his time zone anymore. God started walking him out. Say, walking him out. One encounter. He started walking. Say, walked him out. And as he walked him out, he says, has been. Did you know you're a has been? You didn't know you're a has been? That's a good thing. Watch this. A fathertude of a multitude of nations, I have made you. I have made you exceedingly fruitful. I made you to become nations. I made kings to go out from your loins. And verse 7 was so cool. Because it wasn't I will establish. He said, I have established my covenant with you this day. We're done. You can go back to your house now, Abraham. I just finished what I started. There is a time, the Bible says that the Lord is the author and the finisher. But he was going to step in and finish what he began. And what he did that day is he pulled Abraham out from where he was. And he took him in. Consider this verse because it'll confirm everything. Jesus standing in Jesus' time around the Pharisees, and they're wanting to kill him. And I'm sure he's choosing his words very carefully. And you know what he says? Because they're going back to, we have Abraham as our father. We have the law, and Abraham's our father. He said, Abraham, the one you just talked, he said, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. The one you're talking about saw me right here. And they said he was a born. They couldn't understand what he just said. He said, you were just born here. How could I? You're saying he saw your day? Abraham's dead. How could he seen your day? Because he did. Because what did he say? I'm going to establish my covenant with you and the seed after you. And then that seed, I'm going to multiply into all nations. And you're going to become the father of many nations. Because it's the seed of Christ that every one of us came into, right? And what he did is he walked him down through the generations. And he took him all the way and confirmed the covenant in Christ. Say, confirm the covenant. He did it all in one day. Completed it. And when he spoke, he had Abraham right where he was speaking. Thou hast been a father of many nations. Your name was Abraham. You are now Abraham. You were Abraham, but you're now and have been Abraham for a very long time. Because he's walking him out in his future. He took him all the way down into Christ. And he confirmed the seed and he let him see Christ's day. That's the power of this realm we walk in. He let him look at it, see it as done. And when he spoke it from that realm, a finish. Woo! God said, we're finished now. The covenant has been established. God spoke it and took Abraham for a little journey in one day. Isn't that awesome? That one day God can transform us. Abraham came out of that encounter. He don't know what happened. His head was spinning. God said, now it's going to come out of your loins. He laughed at God. He still wasn't ready because God just did it. But in one year, because God did it that way, and he spoke the thing that be not from the realm that is. That's the key. He took him into the realm of his own heart and he spoke his promise. And when he finished him right there, he said, we're done. I've established this covenant because I can swear by no greater. I swore to my own seed today I'll do this. My seed is in you. We completed this. God can complete your life in one day. He can complete your generations in one day. That's the power of the face of God. And that is where this generation's going to go. And where you're going to start marveling is when the dead are starting to be raised again. And the blind eyes see again. And the deaf ears get unstopped. Because God completed a promise. And brought us in to the church age of power.
Man, when he did it,
he finished. Abraham laughed that day, but in one year that transpired, he found the faith of Romans 4. Against hope, he believed, and hope staggered no more at the promises of God. Strong in faith, giving glory to him, and him and Sarah gave birth out of a dead womb. In a year, from a state of unbelief to a state of full-blown faith, we are in that time zone right now where God is going to transform a generation of Jacob. Psalms 24, transformation, my friend. You are already complete in Christ. You already have been raised together. You already sit together. You have already been crowned. You have already been completed. See, God spoke all this stuff before he started any one of us. He completed us all. Before he got any of us started, said, I wish he'd counted me like Abraham. He already did in Christ. You're in him. He already completed everybody in him. And now what he wants to do is connect us in and transform the generation we're living in. You don't know the day. God said, time, boom, do it. Because it's already been spoken. It's already been confirmed as done. God is not going to do our generation. God has made our generation. God has made us kings and priests. Not going to make us, made. You're a made church. Praise God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.